Hi everyone, and welcome to the Nookcast, a Vookcast special. I'm Angelo Valdivia, and with me this week are Oliver Brandt.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Special guest and moderator of the Vooks Discord, Michael Gonsalves.
Hey, thank you for having me.
No problem, thank you for being here. And Vooks Overlord, Daniel Vukovic.
Hey, how you going?
Thanks very much for joining me this afternoon, guys. We're bringing you this very special episode all about Animal Crossing New Horizons and how some of the Vooks crew have been going with it. Now, Animal Crossing is a very special series to me in that it's just the kind of game that I just lose days, literal days of myself into when the game came out over the weekend, last weekend. I didn't even have any concept of what time was outside of my room, outside of my lounge room. I was just playing that game all weekend long. How's the game been going for you guys, though? How invested in the Animal Crossing series are you guys?
So I got into Animal Crossing fairly late as far as the series goes. I played a teensy bit of Wild World and then a lot of New Leaf. But, I mean, I did have to be bribed to get New Leaf, so, you know, it wasn't exactly a willing situation, but I enjoyed it a lot, and New Horizons has been just incredible. As you said, like, when the game came out, I lost all track of time. I spent probably, I mean, like, it came out at midnight, and I didn't get to sleep until 6 a.m., and I didn't even realize that it had gotten that late. And then, like, the next day, I got up at around 10 a.m., and before I knew it, it was, you know, 11 p.m., and I'd been fishing and catching bugs all day, so it's very easy to get lost in, probably more so than previous games, just because there is so much more to do now, and so much more that you have to do, especially in the early game.
Michael, what about yourself?
Yeah, I've been playing Animal Crossing since GameCube days, so the original GameCube title that came out in Australia, and pretty much every mainstay title since then, bar City Folk. I never played it on Wii. And I definitely don't play the title on Wii U that shall not be named. But yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty much the perfect game to come out with what's happening right now. That you can just bunker down at home, put in so many hours that you will lose track of time constantly. I was fishing this morning and then like next minute it was an hour and a half and time just blows by. But it's one of my favorite Nintendo titles, period. So I'm glad that it's finally made its way to Switch.
Absolutely. And Dan, what about you? How being, you know, the Vooks Overlord for, what, 20 years now? Almost 20 years since the site had started. Like, how much have you been part of, or has the series been part of your life?
Yeah, so Animal Crossing's a huge part. I've played it since the GameCube days. Even, like, printed my own custom Animal Crossing memory card sticker.
Wow.
Played on the DS, loved it. You know, it was the first real online game we had in the community. Then the 3DS, I played it a lot with my girlfriend, now wife, and yeah, we bonded through that game a lot, so that was really good. So it's got a long and special place in my heart, that game. I really love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Ollie, I think you mentioned before Wild World. Oh, no, Michael, you might have mentioned Wild World on the Wii. Did anyone even play that one in this group right here? Did anyone play the Wild World?
Do you mean City Folk?
No, not Wild World. What am I thinking? City Folk. Oh, I'm getting them all mixed up. The one on Wii, City Folk, yes.
I mean, I've played little bits of it at friend's house. I never bought it myself. It just didn't really seem like a kind of experience that you'd want to like sit in front of your TV and play at the time. But then like, I guess like the beauty of the Switch is that like, if that's not working for you, you can just pick it up and play in bed if you want.
Yeah. And what about you, Daniel? Did you ever give like the Wii Speak a shot?
Yeah. You know, once and then never touched it again. I think it's still blue tacked to my sensor bar.
Oh, really?
And like the tank cables all tangled up in the box with it, but I don't think I ever used it, you know, more than a novelty. Like it was just, it wasn't that serious. I couldn't remember anything specifically from that version of Animal Crossing. Like Ollie, yeah, like I just didn't want to sit in front of my TV and play Animal Crossing for any extended period of time. And I think when that came out, you know, like it was, I had like just started working and like the only time you could play was like late at night, and the game didn't have the flexibility with the hours and the ordinances that it does now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, never got much favor from me.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, as you mentioned, how the series is going now in that case, so why don't we focus on New Horizons now then? So with New Horizons having just come out for just over a week now, people who've been playing the game since launch would probably have opened up their islands a lot more. I know that I've got, three new residents in my island, nooks, crannies opened up. I'm visiting other, randomly generated islands. I'm also visiting friends' islands and things. So now I'm getting more characters to experience things with. How is this version sort of shaping up to be in terms of differences between what's happening here and what's happened before? Are there any things that people have liked as improvements?
I think it's a bit of a, I'm not going to say it's a controversial decision because most people seem to be absolutely loving it, but I have seen some people saying that it's a bit too slow to get going because you do have to, there's that huge meme around the first couple of days of the game where, Tom Nook's shaking your pockets for 30 iron. And that just wasn't super possible that early on. Giving you a lot to do to build up the town, because, in New Leaf and in Wild World, and I'm sure in the other ones that I haven't played, you sort of start with an already developed town and then you're just sort of improving on it from there. But with New Horizons, it's in the title. It's a New Horizon and you're starting from scratch. So you do have to build up all the essential services. And, it takes a week before, there's some things that you can do. You have to wait for residents to move in. Because you only start with the two and then you have to build three houses and then open up a campground. And it's one of those things where, because you're putting all that work in at the very beginning, you feel much more attached to the state of your town. Because, in New Leaf, I didn't really give a damn if I'd, weeded my town or whatever. I just, worked to the point where I could get the beauty ordinance and then, logged in once a day to grab some bells. But with New Horizons, it matters to me that, my town looks good because, I've started this town and now I have to make sure that all my little residents are happy. And that's my responsibility. And I've gotten really attached to basically everyone that's in my town now.
Yeah, for sure. Michael, what about yourself?
Yeah, I got to agree with the slow start to the game. And I definitely think about where I would be right now if I wasn't at home every day with what's going on, how much further back I would be or how many people would be in my town or where I'd actually set up certain things. But yeah, it's been super enjoyable. I think the slower start to the game is a nice different take to previous titles, which is good to see. I'm actually, with where I'm at right now in the game, I'm actually sort of worried about if there is going to be enough in the future, but I guess we'll see. But yeah, it's been a really nice slow run so far. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, both of you have mentioned the sort of slow burn that happens at the beginning, and that's definitely something that I wasn't quite expecting starting the game up myself. I mean, like we've mentioned, it takes pretty much about a week for things to actually start moving in that first day. You've only really set up your own tent and then a couple of other people's tents. And then that's really it. You've just got to get out there and start learning how to manage the crafting system and manage your inventory and, figure out how to fish and how to, forage weeds and things like that and make medicines because you're constantly being attacked by wasps and whatnot. So it's kind of teaching those little bits of little mechanics and things in there, and where most games might do that within a 1 hour tutorial, Animal Crossing kind of forces you to deal with that over an entire day before giving you getting to the second day in real time where you can start unlocking some more things and building some more things and meeting Blathers, and then the day after that because in that second day then you can finally get fossils and hand them in and bugs and all these kinds of things, but then you have to wait a couple of days after that because then the museum's being built and Blathers has, you don't have access to him anymore for that time while the museum's being built. And then after that, so there's a lot of just these staggered walls that you have to just keep, you know, spending time actually like, you know, chipping away at before you can actually break through and get further through the game. Dan, is this something that you were expecting at all in the lead up to this, or in your experience, like, you know, has that been sort of the experience you've had with other Animal Crossing games?
Yeah, I expected a slow start, but it was very slow. It's felt like they've gatekeeped it more per day. Maybe I'm just misremembering it, but or because you have less at the start, it feels worse. But when I wrote an article, you know, for people who never play Animal Crossing before, what to expect, and I said, look, you're going to have a slow start, but I didn't think it would be that slow.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, why don't we talk about some of the things that happened at the beginning? So I think Ollie mentioned that, you know, the island starts completely fresh, like it's a deserted island, nothing's there, and then over time you're encouraged to then build your own things within the island. You're making the island your own. It's unlike previous Animal Crossing games where you're, you know, arriving on the town on a train or something, and you're arriving in this already established civilization, and somehow, you know, Tortimer just makes you the mayor or something like that, you know. Here, like, you're just part of this first wave of immigrants, essentially, coming in to colonize the island, and from there you shape it to be the way that you want it to be. And I think that's what makes it more of a personal experience for a lot of people who are getting in on this for the first time. It's kind of like The Sims, you know, you start with a fresh plot of land and then you finally build your house out to be this sort of dream paradise that you want it to be. What are some, has anyone, like, that's been a good thing for a lot of people, but has anyone seen any sort of like pitfalls with that, apart from like how slow it's been? Like, do you think people are going to getting turned away from this slower start? You know, they're not going to be able to see many things. They're missing out on things. Has anyone had that experience?
You go, Ollie.
I was speaking with a friend last night who was kind of bouncing off the game really hard. They really enjoyed New Leaf, but like a lot of the things that they were enjoying about that were, you know, being able to spend a lot of time fishing and catching bugs. And while that is something you can dedicate your time to, in New Horizons, there's always this sort of overwhelming pressure to be doing more for the town. Like, you can't log into the game and like not be, you know, affronted with, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that. And it's just especially with you know, the crafting requirements, so like having tools breaking and all of that. I know just for some people it is it's getting in the way of the things that they enjoy about Animal Crossing. And I think, like, it does seem that, like, the further you get in, the less that is an issue. But there's just that huge hump at the beginning where you have to be doing things that you may not necessarily enjoy about Animal Crossing in order to get to the things that you do enjoy.
Yeah, no, I just to jump off of that one, yeah, I agree. The crafting system is something that I'm not entirely enjoying. It's definitely something that's holding me back from really wanting to stay in the game a lot more. And that's just because to be able to earn bills, like, you have to go in and you have to fish and you have to do all these really mundane tasks, which have existed in the previous games as well. But the issue here now is that there's that added layer where you just have to now be aware of, you know, how many hits you're making with your axe or how many times you've used your fishing pole or something like that. And you just have to keep crafting more because they constantly break. So there's just so much management going on now, which I feel is a very sort of anti-newbie sort of thing. Like, I would have thought that a lot of newer players would be averse to that kind of thing, a lot of management and stuff. And I don't know, it's definitely an aspect of, for example, Breath of the Wild that I really didn't enjoy so much is, you know, going out adventuring, being away from a lot of resources, and then suddenly a whole bunch of my weapons have just broken and stuff, and now I can't really do much and have to go and find, you know, a crappier weapon to go and use instead. Michael, how do you feel about this kind of thing? Have you been enjoying sort of the inventory management and stuff?
So yeah, and I agree with both of you, both on Breath of the Wild and in this game. Like, especially at the start, crafting seems really against everything that you need to do in the game completely. And at this point in the game, crafting's not so bad. Like, I've got so much resources from trees and from rocks that I can basically craft as many tools as I want for the foreseeable future. That's not a problem. But every time you need to pause either fishing or like digging or redoing your town, like landscaping, whatever it is, because your tool breaks, it just breaks the flow of whatever Zen like mindset that you're in playing the game. And it might be a little bit different to new players, as you said. But while we're on the topic of new players, I've actually been chatting to a couple of mates who are completely brand new to the game. And it sort of took me aback how different their experience is of what like we take for granted knowledge and how to find stuff in trees or planting fruit and how much fruit is worth. How to mine the stones, for example.
Like
How to plant a new tree. I would say the majority of my friends have broken all the rocks in their town thinking that that's how you mine them.
Right?
And you only get back one of those rocks a day. So it'll take you quite a few days before you repopulate your entire town. So it's a little bit of a brutal start for any type of, of new player. Because the game doesn't really explain anything to you in that regard.
On the topic of like the rock breaking, it straight up says like, oh yeah, you can get an extra rock if you smash it. And it's like, well, yeah, you can, but like that's not the most effective way to be doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Dan, what about your thoughts with all of this? Do you feel any different?
I'm going to be controversial. Between Breath of the Wild and this, I think Breath of the Wild has more context of why the weapons break, but that's a different debate for a different day. Eventually, it doesn't become a problem in Breath of the Wild. The Master Sword still shouldn't break, though. That's stupid. But another debate for a different day. But in Animal Crossing, I find it way more frustrating. I like it. Because in Breath of the Wild, you've got the context of a ruined world. You know, he's just woken up. He's just getting to it. Animal Crossing... yeah, it's a deserted island, but you have all these tools, but why do you keep making crap tools? And even like the gold tools breaking is going to be annoying. It just seems like unvery Zen-like, I think is what Michael said as well. The crafting is slow. Like you have to mine or dig or chop everything and then you have to have it in your pockets. So the more you have in your pockets, the less you can fish and pull up and all this stuff. So it just feels more of a system rather than and an annoyance rather than like in Breath of the Wild where, yeah, your weapon can break mid-combat. You can be left short-sighted, short-handed. But it feels like in Animal Crossing, just like it's just pure annoyance. Like it's just a different kind of annoying. Like,
yeah, no, fair enough. And going on from that, it's just another one of those added layers to sort of stall progress because you can't build new equipment until you learn the DIY recipes for them. So in the game, you know, which is again different in this game where in order to make new equipment or make new furniture and things like that to be able to craft new items, you have to first receive DIY instructions on how to do that. And you know, they come from all sorts of places. You know, your residents might just teach you on the side of a river when you're walking past them, or they will be in messages in a bottle that just wash up on your shore, or someone will give it to you as a reward, or you can buy it from Nook's Cranny. So there are ways of getting them and stuff, but you're really at the mercy of when it just turns up. Like you can't just learn how to make an axe and that's it. Like you've got a couple of different types of axes that you can make, each with their own durabilities and things like that.
One thing I've found annoying is that I wish you could put materials into storage or have a box next to your DIY.
Yep.
So you didn't have to carry with them you all the time?
Yeah, that would make a little sense.
Yeah, because that's like one of the most frustrating things is that like if you're out fishing and then your fishing rod breaks and like you've got all the resources in your storage, but you have to run all the way back to your house. You need to get the items out of storage. You need to walk over to the bench, craft the thing, then put all the stuff back in storage so you have enough inventory space for all your fish. Like it's just a really annoying process. And like you can speed up like the crafting animation just by like mashing the buttons. That's something I found out just the other day. So, you know, it helps a bit, but like when you're like especially for like one of the most annoying things for me is like crafting fish food.
100%.
Because like you have to dig up these like these dumb little clams on the beach, and then like there's, you know, they don't stack in your inventory, the clams. You have to walk back, and then one by one, you have to craft them into fish food. And it's just like, why is there no bulk option for that? Like, why don't the clams stack in your inventory like every other resource? It's just a little bit weird.
Yeah, for sure. I think prior to the game as well coming out, because we found out about durability, there was that little bit of solace of being thought, at least in my head, that, oh, we can at least work towards the gold tools, and the gold tools will be fine, and they'll just last forever, and that's a goal that we can work towards. But then when the game came out and learning that the gold tools also break, it's just one of those things where you just, yeah, they need to have some better system around it, especially because gold nuggets seem to be reasonably rare. So I'm assuming or hoping the gold tools last for a considerable amount of time.
We've talked about some things that sort of annoy us a little bit, or at least, you know, things that we think could be improved upon. What are some things that we actually enjoy about the new game so far? So for me personally, I actually quite like the Nook Miles system. So basically that's like a second set of currency within the game. You got your usual currency, which is bells, which, you know, you sell items and you receive bells back, or you use items to pay for things like your home loan and stuff. But Nook Miles is like this separate point system that's entirely based on rewards. So, you know, it's almost like an XP system, except you don't level up. You just redeem those points for completely different items and things. So, you know, you might collect like 5 bugs and then you get 150 Nook points or something. And, you know, all these other sort of little actions that you can do. And from there, you can spend them on new items or new recipes or Nook tickets, which take you to something else that I quite like, which are randomly generated other islands, which are just full of resources that you can go and visit and stuff. Are there any things that you guys weren't quite expecting that you would enjoy so much in this game?
I was definitely expecting it, and it's an old feature. But for me, my favorite part of the game by far is just how gorgeous the museum is. It is stunning to walk in there and see all your fish, all your bugs, all your dinosaur fossils that they've caught in this immaculate presentation. That's probably one of the most gorgeous things I've seen on Switch, like, period.
It's amazing how big that museum fits in that little building.
Totally. It's quite big.
It's a bit of a TARDIS.
It's really made me go out and actually, like, do a ton of fishing, do a ton of bug hunting. I got an opportunity to visit one of my friends who lives in the Northern Hemisphere, visit his town yesterday. So I caught a whole lot of Northern Hemisphere fish and bugs as well to add to my museum. And it's just a really nice task to do. The only downside being is that I've filled up quite a bit of my Critopedia, like, already. And I'm sort of worried at how fast that's ending 1 week into the game. But who knows?
Yeah. More bells. You know, speaking of the Critopedia, I like that there is an easier way to keep track of things you've collected this time around as well, like with the Critopedia and stuff like that. Yeah, that's a good one. Dan, what about yourself? Anything in this game that you're really enjoying that's new?
Yeah, the Nook Miles I'm really enjoying. They seem to be a lot easier to come by than actual resources, almost, like... you can get them for doing almost everything. Like, it's really good. And they're creative. I'm still finding new ones a week in. Like, I've still got lots of empty spaces, and I haven't even really gone online yet, so I'm sure there's a lot more for that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Ollie, what about you?
Well, I think the Nook Miles system is just fantastic, and I think, like, it seems weird to say, but, like, Like, while Nook Miles are abundant, like, the things that you can spend them on or redeem them for are usually quite expensive. Not all of them. Some of them are quite cheap. But, like, you know, it's 2,000 miles for a trip to another island, or, like, 2,500 miles for, like, a new set of hairstyles. And I think that sort of scarcity makes it feel a lot like, you know, a reward system, you know, at your local supermarket or something, like, where you're you're working towards it, but like it doesn't feel like you're, you know, you're wasting your time or that. And like, I think that's like the main thing about Nook Miles, is that like you can be doing basically anything and still be like earning rewards for it. And it's kind of like that whole, that Breath of the Wild feel, where like no matter how much or how little you play Breath of the Wild, like it's unlikely that you're going to travel for more than like 5 minutes without getting a reward. And it's the same thing that we saw in like Super Mario Odyssey, where, you know, the moons were absolutely abundant, but like it meant that like no matter what you were doing, you were probably working towards progress. And the Nook Miles has that same sort of payoff. But it and like the fact that there's so many things to choose from means that like it doesn't feel like you're, you know, when you're working towards, you know, building a house, you know exactly what you're going to get in the end. You're going to get a house. But when you're collecting Nook Miles, it's like, look at all these cool things that I could spend it on. And like, that's exciting. To be like, you know, I could get, you know, bigger pockets, or, you know, maybe I want to get new hairstyles, or maybe I'll like roll the dice on one of the random islands. So it's an exciting feature that I think adds a lot of dynamics to the game that weren't in previous ones and have kind of sorely been missing, I feel.
Yeah, you don't have to spend $20,000 to get a one-way trip to Port Hedland or something.
Yeah, for sure. I'll also just piggyback on what Michael was saying. The museum, after seeing the initial trailer or something, really stood out to me as something that I'm going to enjoy really spending some time in. And, it's still... Like, you've already collected so many things yourself, Michael, as you said before, but I haven't yet. And it's always exciting going into the museum and finding, you know, a new shark or a new set of bones or something like that, and just finding out how different that looks within my museum and how it makes things just feel a little more alive. Like, walking through the aquarium now just looks amazing. And of course, Blathers is back being his normal self. I completely forgot somehow that he hates bugs. And when I remembered that after talking to him, like that was a real sort of nice little thing to experience again.
Hold on, just on that, like that topic, like I know people who have like literally been like saving up bugs so that they have multiple things to hand in because they don't want to like upset Blathers. Like, that's like the kind of effect that like it's having on people, is like they know that like he doesn't react badly if you give multiple things, so like instead of handing in that one new bug that they found, they'll wait, you know, potentially hours to get a second bug or a new fish or something so they can hand in both at once and not freak out the cute owl. Like,
that's fine.
I think that's just like one of those amazing things that like that games like this can do.
And I'm doing the exact opposite, because like I feel like he has the best information lines on bugs because of the way he reacts to them. They're absolutely amazing. There's some great one-line funnies in there.
Yeah, I always get his explanations on things whenever I hand them in, even for some things that I've already handed multiples, or like, you know, fossils or something, when there are like three parts to them. I still get him to explain the fossil to me each time because I love his explanations. But actually going on from that, so people aren't, you know, are holding things back so they don't, you know, scare Blathers too much. What about all those people who are out there actively hunting tarantulas, trying to, you know, get as many bells as they can? Have you guys done that? Because they sell for quite a bit, don't they? Something like 8,000 bells?
Well, we've got scorpions in the southern hemisphere. So it's tarantulas in the north and then scorpions in the south.
That makes sense why I haven't seen tarantulas. I didn't put those together. That makes a whole lot more sense.
And like, I don't know if that switches over or anything, but like, I think just for the moment, at least, it's just scorpions.
Right.
But man, like, I still have yet to catch a scorpion. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, no, I get nipped every time.
They're so fast. And like, the second you see it, it's like, well, I may as well just stand still because it's going to get me and I'm going to pass out.
Yeah, my girlfriend was doing it last night and she was trying to sneak up behind a scorpion, but it still managed to see her and like sort of like wave its tail mockingly at her as if it's about to like, you know, spike her. Has anyone here managed to catch a scorpion yet?
Yeah, I've only seen three scorpions in my town, which is probably a lot more than most people.
Right.
But the last time I saw a scorpion, I caught it, thankfully. And there is a way to do it. I don't think I'll say it because I want you guys to find it out. but it's really good and it's quite slow.
Does Ollie have to make more like fish bait or something? Is that what it is?
No more fish bait, thankfully. But on the topic of that tarantula, I linked in the Discord a great tweet by somebody who found an amazing tarantula island. So it's one of the random islands that you visit, where its focus is literally just land on the outside, an inner ring, like a moat of water, and then another central island. And the central island is like a hellscape of tarantulas constantly spawning. It is a beautiful story written in Twitter, and a great video to watch. So I recommend anyone finding it.
That's terrifying.
It is an incredible little thread, because like it ends with, you know, I don't want to like give too much away, but the man does become like the tarantula king, and like it's absolutely hilarious. But like I always just think, like, you know, if that had been someone from the Southern Hemisphere, that could have been the Scorpion King, and then like,
yep,
you know, that would have just been so much cooler. But you know,
it would have been a lot cooler.
It's still, yeah. I dread the day when I find a Scorpion Island.
Boy, yeah, that sounds terrible.
I'm not good at it.
I've had nothing but terrible like maybe islands. That's just islands with nothing on them. Like, I've had bamboo island at least, but other than that, I've had just terrible luck with my Nook Miles.
Oh, that's a shame.
And there are quite a few like special islands. So like there is the bamboo island, and there is a scorpion or tarantula island. But there's also the trash island. So like all of the things that you fish up are trash,
yeah,
so
that
you can't catch any fish there. There's also one of the islands I got early on, which helped me a lot, was a rock island, where it's just covered in rocks, and every single hit of a rock gives you a piece of iron or a gold nugget. Oh. So like I've got like 90 iron just like sitting in my storage.
I need and, like, that four island gold nuggets. So I can finally build my robot hero statue. I need that
the best island that I've gotten, which is, I don't think I've seen anyone else get it, funnily enough. I got a rare river fish island. So the majority of the fish in the river, not every single one, but the vast majority was some type of rare river fish, like a Dorado or something. And I left that island and made 250,000 bells. Oof. It was glorious.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Actually, I did have one good island. It was Shark Island. It was all sharks.
A good island? That sounds like a good one. That would be good. Lots of bank there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, sharks. Oh, I remember a couple of nights in. This actually kind of segues into the next topic that I wanted to bring up. So traveling to some friends' islands, like, because when I was playing on my own, I couldn't find any sharks whatsoever on my island at all. But then I traveled to my girlfriend's island, and she was just like Shark Island over there. There was just so many sharks around the place. So actually she opened up her borders to all of our friends that were in this Nintendo Online family group with on Facebook. And just like five of us were on her island, just like, yeah, just fishing up sharks left, right, and center on our island. It was really weird. But then, funnily enough, it just got to a point where there were just no fish at all anymore. We were there for like an hour straight just fishing, and then the game just stopped spawning fish. And then we had to leave the island and come back for it to respawn, which was very, very strange. But
yeah, I'm glad somebody else has experienced that, because I've also experienced that same problem on a friend's island where we're hunting bugs and fish, and it just everything is sort of dried up.
Yeah,
it was really odd.
I do wonder if there's like some kind of like anti-abuse measures in, so they don't want people like abusing that too much. I mean, like, as we've seen, like when we had the Vooks Discord games night for it, you can shake trees pretty much endlessly and they will spawn sticks and acorns and pine cones pretty much forever.
Yes, my island became covered in sticks on that night.
Well, you know, so let's go into that then. So let's talk about multiplayer and our experiences with multiplayer and how it all works. So we've, as you guys are mentioning, we have had the Vooks Discord really opening up with people, you know, leaving their islands available for people to join and stuff. So how's that been going? What's that been like for the last week?
Oh, it's been great. It's just like, there's a lot of people in the Discord, but most people are just kind of lurkers. But I feel like Animal Crossing's just really brought everyone out of the woodworks to play games. And like, we didn't have a great deal of people at the first games night. I'm sure there'll be more at the next one. But like every single day there's somebody, you know, there's, you know, a cavalcade of people saying like, oh, my turnips are selling for, you know, 140 today. Like just this morning, cause we're recording this on Sunday. Everybody was trying to get the best deal from Daisy May and her turnips. So everybody's opening their towns frantically to try and join, you know, whoever has the cheapest turnips, and then like on subsequent days, whoever has like the most expensive price for them. And just like even in that first couple days, like people, you know, asking, hey, does anybody have this fruit? And like, you know, having four or five people say, yeah, sure, like open your gate and I'll come deliver some. Like, it's been a really, really cute little community to watch come together to help each other out.
And Michael, what about your experience, considering that, you know, you're one of the mods who helps moderate the Discord?
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic. I think the Animal Crossing channel's definitely been a buzz of late. As we're talking, someone's literally just asked me if I can open my island so they can buy turnips, because I'm in WA, and they've got another 25 minutes to buy turnips.
Ooh,
which I can't do, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, multiplayer has been fantastic. I've been to so many people's different islands, checking stuff out. I think the best friend feature is really, really cool as well. So you can have best friends attached who can do more modifications to your island if you let them. So dig up stuff and all that jazz. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see if it's not been unlocked yet, or if maybe they've put it in a future DLC or something like that. If there's going to be any type of island type community events that you can do, or games that you can play together instead of the stuff that you just make yourself. Like, I think there was a video on Twitter going around about some musical chairs that somebody made. Someone was playing the ocarina and they set up a whole lot of chairs in the middle of their island. And when the ocarina stops playing, everyone needs to try and sit down, which I think is an awesome community made game to play. But I love to see some stuff made by Nintendo that everyone can join in.
Yeah. Daniel, have you had much opportunity to try out multiplayer?
I haven't done anything yet. One, because I've been at home isolated, but also because I don't want people to see how I live. So, and I, like, for the first 3 days, I had crap all over the beach and then Blathers, the backlog of Blathers. And then I've only just got it now to the point where I think I might be like, okay, who wants to come over? Or like, and it's like weird. Like you said, were saying before, you have like a really strong, this is something I built, and you don't want people to judge you, even though it's just Animal Crossing.
That's a good point. I mean, like, when you go to someone's house and you see their book collection, you know, it's like a look into someone's inner psyche. And I'd imagine it's very similar to going to someone's island and just finding out that it's just an entire scorpion paradise or something as well.
Yeah, I just like haven't felt like, oh, I got to get it all nice and tidy before someone comes over, you know?
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, let's talk about how are the ways that we can play multiplayer in this game. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you in, Daniel, because you wrote such a great article on the site, the site being vox.net, by the way, which was called, The Wonderful, The Wonderful World of Communication and Connectivity in Animal Crossing, which basically just went through all the different ways throughout the entire series that people could connect to Animal Crossing, whether, you know, it's been multiplayer or whatever, but all sorts of other just like technological avenues for doing that. So here we've got a couple of different ways. You know, we've got couch co-op, which only up to four people can play a single game, and it's just the same island on the one Switch. That's it. We've talked about that on the show before. But then there's local multiplayer, where you can connect within a household wirelessly with different consoles. And then there's the online connection, which you can do over the internet, either privately using a code or you can just open up your gates to anyone on your friends list. Interestingly, allowing people to come visit you with a code, I didn't realize that you didn't need to be friends with them to do that. You could just have the actual code itself. You just put up the digits and then people just put that in, and then they can connect to that island. They don't have to be friends with you, which I thought was really interesting. But what's the experience been for you guys connecting online? Have you had any troubles? Have you just been sticking to the online stuff? Have you tried local? What's going on?
I think for the most part, it's been quite good. I did have an experience early on where I opened up my island for everyone to join. And as everyone who's played multiplayer knows, there is this pause and animation that happens when somebody joins your island, which can take quite a while.
Yeah.
And I had four people join, so it was four of those animations back to back. And it's about a minute and a half each time.
Yep.
Then one person left immediately as we all finished, which is another minute and a half. And then another person joined. So there was a solid like 10 minutes of just multiplayer loading while everyone was trying to figure out how to join and what to do. which was a little bit disorientating and annoying. But once everyone's on the island, it seems like a pretty great experience. But I've not had the opportunity to either play local play. I guess probably none of us have, considering everyone's quarantined away. Oh, you have? Please, Ollie.
Yeah, because I live with my sister.
Yeah, I've done it as well.
She has a Switch of her own, and you know, it's a little bit faster to join a game than online play, but like the animation's still the same, and you know, it works fine. I found that like there's a weird amount of lag that happens when you're like so like online, you'll notice like if somebody goes into a house, everybody, like if you're in the middle of chopping a tree, you'll just pause for a second, and I find that that happens a lot more frequently with local wireless than it does online. And I'm not really sure for the reason for that. I noticed something similar with Mario Maker a little while back after they added the Play With Friends update. We tested that out at PAX Australia last year, and we found that like 9 times out of 10, it was more reliable for us all to go online than it was for us to connect via local wireless. So, It's probably just something that needs to be smoothed out a little bit, but yeah, it is a little bit frustrating to have to load, like Michael said, like it takes so long, especially if you want to have like the full 8 people over, you know, that's 7 long animations that everybody has to watch.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's unfortunate that, you know, it's not just a easy done sort of revolving door situation where people can just pop in and out. Like, it is a process to do that. Dan, you haven't tried any multiplayer yourself or anything like that, but what about your, do you have any opinions on how connectivity works in this game? Do you think that it's a pretty, you know, that it is an innovative system compared to previous generations, or do you feel like some of the things that they've done before still kind of top the way that New Horizons does it?
So, I mean, I'm from the online perspective, even though I haven't played it, yeah, the loading animation thing, I have seen a few memes about that, and like people put like a message down for when the plane flies over in rocks. It's like one was like, oh, hey, mother effer. And then it's like, and I thought that was funny, but so that's probably like the, but from like a connectivity thing, there's also the connectivity with the app and the QR codes, which is actually works quite easily and simply and quickly, which is interesting to say that about the Nintendo Online app.
Yeah, can you just elaborate a little bit more on what the QR codes do?
Yeah, so you can, on the 3DS version, you can draw, or you can do a drawing on the Switch as well, but the 3DS version spawned thousands upon thousands of different designs, and you can import them into the Switch version. But because the Switch doesn't have a camera, you use the phone app to do that, and then you just go into your phone in the game and download them instantly. And so, like, you can turn something from a QR code pretty easy. And then there's a whole bunch of online tools to take JPEGs and actual images and put them into QR codes. So you can, it's a, like, if the Switch had a camera, it'd be like one less step, but it's still pretty inventive. And I found that pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's a new way that people have been uploading textures to their games, whether, you know, it's new outfits or you know, new walls or floors and things like that, and just patterns that you can just print on the ground. There's a great one that I saw actually where someone said that they were going to go to their girlfriend's island or something, and they were just going to put down the exact same texture of the fossil crosses and just like really screw with their girlfriend and make her think that she needs to go out and dig up all the, not knowing which one's the real, you know, dig spot for a fossil or not. And I thought that was actually a pretty genius way to mess with someone's island.
That's pure evil.
It absolutely is, but it's genius as well.
But the app is pretty clever as well, because like one of the main things that I've been using it for is like as a chat,
as a keyboard
in game. Yeah, as a keyboard. So like you can type what you want to say to like other people on your island.
Yeah. There is a character limit, which is a little annoying, but it still works pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, like it's better than having to put it in with a controller. Yeah. You know, like. And even like the Switch's touch screen isn't great for entry. I do just want to say that like it is a bit weird that like you can draw on like somebody's notice board with the touch screen, but like you can't do it. You can't use the touch screen for like designing.
Yeah.
Right. I'm really not sure what like the reasoning for that was. Like, I can't imagine any reason you'd want to do that.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's a strange choice.
I can only assume that they're gonna add that in at some point. Like, I can't even think of a reason. It was just like
some oversight that they didn't even think of to begin with.
It just sounds like a political decision almost. Like, no, they have to use the app. The app is awesome.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, even just thinking about the way that you join someone's island versus how you can start a voice chat conversation with them. So, you know, with the app, like, it's just easy to drop in and out of a voice chat conversation with multiple people, provided that you're all, you know, playing together and things. But, you know, with actually connecting to each other on the game, like, there's just such a long waiting process there, which is just very, very interesting. And it's definitely a far cry from the WeSpeak attachment in City Folk, that's for sure. Like, actually letting people connect to each other and talk.
Just quickly on that topic, though. Yep. This is the first Nintendo-published game that allows you to send messages to other people over the internet while the other person isn't online.
Right.
Which is, like, a bit of a weird thing to specifically say. But, like, so many people were, like, clamoring for some sort of messaging system on the Switch, and that kind of exists now. Mm. It doesn't tie into the Switch's new notification system, which I think that it should.
Yeah, which two games use, I think.
Yeah. But it is interesting. Like, it's pretty exciting to just, like, get a... you know, a letter from a friend who, you know, saw some dumb item in their shop and thought, you know, hey, that would be cool for Ollie. Like, there's been a lot of that happening between me and my friends. So, I think the letters is a really cool thing, but like, it's weird that it's taken, you know, 3 years now to have any sort of messaging on the Switch, and this is the form that it comes in, you know, sending, you know, frilly letters to friends.
Yeah, right. Yeah, one thing that I did enjoy about just the 3DS in general, actually, over the Switch, was the ability to street pass and some of the goodies you can get from street passing in Animal Crossing as well. It's a shame that there's nothing similar to that here anyway. What about Amiibo, though? So what's the deal with Amiibo? I'm not up to speed on what's going on here. Is there support for that? What can we do with Amiibo?
Okay. All I've unlocked so far with Amiibo is like the ability to like summon characters into my photo studio.
Right. Okay.
So like when you're in the photo studio, you can tap a card and then, or like one of the figures, and then that character will appear in the studio and you can pose them and whatever. They did say in the direct that like you could invite a villager using the card, but like I have absolutely no idea how to do that, and I don't know if anybody else here does, but like it's just not something that I've seen at all.
Have you tried it after you've got your campsite?
I haven't tried it after I got my campsite.
I feel like I just got my campsite
like yesterday. I think it may be, yeah.
So this is another thing that I'm not familiar with either. I've yet to actually start construction on my campsite. What is the benefit of getting the campsite?
So
it's basically just like, I think it's just a way to meet villagers that like doesn't require you to spend 2,000 miles on going to another island. It's just like you set up the campsite and then every now and then there'll be someone there, and then if there is somebody there, you can invite them to your island.
Right, so it's just an opportunity to meet potential new residents who aren't living on your island.
Yeah, right. Okay. Pretty much.
And what about the connectivity between I can't remember the name of the Animal Crossings on phones. What's that called again? Pocket Camp. Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking New Camp. What are some of the features that people are able to do with the connectivity between those two apps? Is it just items and things?
Yeah. So if you log into Pocket Camp, you'll be able to click on the My Nintendo section. And in there, you can redeem... a package that just like gives you a code, and then you put that code into the Switch eShop, and then it downloads, you know, DLC. It's already in the game. It's just like it needs to recognize that you've got it, and that gives you like a whole bunch of items that are like related to Pocket Camp that you can that you can redeem from the Nook terminal. So you do have to spend Nook miles on it, which is a little bit frustrating.
Right.
Because it would be nice if they just gave it to you for free. But you can get like cool like clothing, like one of the coolest characters in Pocket Camp that has yet to make it over to the main series yet is the OK Motors brothers. They're these crows that like own a motoring company, and they're just like they're dumb and silly and and kind of fun. But like you can get their outfits, and they've got like a cool little sort of Twitter-esque logo. So you know it's nice, but like it's nothing substantial. Some expected it would be a bit bigger than that, but so far pretty much nothing.
Fair enough. All right, well, why don't we look towards the future for Animal Crossing again? So we've been talking about what we can do and what's available at the moment. What about what's to come? Like, is this a game that we think that we're all going to stick with long-term? I admit that I'm already starting to not really, like, stay in Animal Crossing as much as I was for the first, 4 or 5 days. Like, for those days, I was in there for, like, 6, 7, 8 hours at a time, whereas now, like, I may be dipping in for an hour just to do what I would normally do in Animal Crossing, find the fossils, hit some rocks, get some cash, that kind of thing. But what about you guys? You guys think you're going to stick in there long term? Have you got more things that you want to do apart from just pay off your home loans?
Yeah, so at the moment, I got a lot of construction needing to happen, which at the moment, I'm not sure if it's going to change in the future. You can do one construction project a day, and it takes an entire day to happen.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's just like a bridge or something.
Yeah, so if you want to build a bridge, you choose where you want it to go. You pay for it through Lloyd, which is really, really cool. And then it takes an entire day as soon as you pay it off, which can be really limiting at the moment. So it's multiple or probably many, many days until you have your island set up exactly how you want it, because that includes stuff like bridges and also ramps for your tier 2 and tier 3 levels of your island.
Yeah, that's something that I've discovered after building my second bridge. So the first one, like, is a requirement. Tom Luke just lets you do that from the beginning, but then to build a second one, you have to select what kind of bridge you want, and there are different types which are more expensive depending on how nice they look. But you take the construction kit, you find the place that you want to, say build your bridge, and then construction, quote unquote, starts and Lloyd is sitting there. But until you can actually pay for it, the construction actually that doesn't really start. And then from there, you have to wait another day. So at that point, like, does that mean that if you've got construction that has somewhat started but you haven't paid it off, can you not construct anything else in your town until you've paid that one off? So, like, for example, could you be waiting like a week to earn all that money to pay it off and then be able to construct something else afterwards?
As far as I'm aware, yes. I've not tried it, but damn, I'm pretty sure you can't, because actually yesterday I destroyed my original bridge because I didn't want a log bridge, because that's the only thing you have to use when you first get your first bridge. And that deconstruction period was an entire day and I couldn't do anything else. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's the other thing, like moving things as well. Like, so if you need to move a house, so I planned out like these perfect plots for my houses. So, they were one space apart, so I could have like a little path in between all of them. It was like perfectly planned. Then it turns out that the minimum space for the later houses is 2 spaces in between. So all this planning that I'd done, kind of went to waste. But now I've got the opportunity to move a house, but, it costs 50 grand to do so. Mm-hmm. And then, like, takes an entire day to do it, and I can't move something else until after that one's moved. So I have to pay the 50 grand, move the house one slot to the right, and then wait an entire day before I can do the same thing for the next one. So, like, it's really frustrating, and like it is something that is probably going to stop me from playing as much as I would like to, just because it's such a feat. Like, I would love to be able to just go in and spend a few hours like catching things, but like when I know that like I'm just like sitting there waiting for things to happen, like it's going to be a week before my town looks even half as nice as I want it to.
Yeah, it seems like they've like incorporated the kind of things that people don't like in free-to-play games, that is doing something and then having to wait hours and hours to then be able to do something else. And they've somehow incorporated that into Animal Crossing here in a way that you can't even speed up the process anyway. Like, at least with a free-to-play mobile game, you can like pay $1 and then, you know, you can get back to playing. Very odd.
Yeah, like they're not even making money off it. So like, why have that kind of, you know, process where you do have to wait so long? If like, I mean, I'm not suggesting that Nintendo do like try to monetize the process. Like that's a bad idea. But like, why have that kind of mechanic if you're not going to like monopolize on it? It's really weird. It's one of those things that stands out as like, something that could be off-putting to a lot of players. And like, I do plan on continuing to play it. Like, there's, you know, Bunny Day coming up. Mm-hmm. I think it's next weekend.
1st to the 12th, I think.
Yeah. So like, that's going to be interesting, because like Bunny Day traditionally has only been one day. So the fact that, you know, we've got, you know, 12 days of Bunny Day coming up is a little bit interesting.
Is that the only sort of public event that we know of that's happening? Do we know if there are other things that are in the pipeline?
After that, there's going to be Earth Day.
Right, Earth Day.
And that's going to be added in another update.
Is that where the game just turns off for an hour?
That's... but yeah, I mean, like, Nintendo has this opportunity here. It's like, we've talked about a lot of the things that we don't like here. And that's not because like we're not enjoying the game, but it's because we are enjoying the game. And like, this is getting in the way of us enjoying it even more.
Yeah, it's one of those walls again.
You know, yeah. It's like, we love this game, so this is why we have to be super critical of it. But Nintendo's in a really prime position to make a lot of changes. You know, this isn't, you know, your traditional multiplayer game, but it is a very social experience. And because of that, they're in a really good place to add things, like in the same way that they do to Smash and Splatoon and all these other games that they continually updated over the space of a year or 2 years, or, you know, in the case of Smash, it'll be 3 years before it's done. Oh, absolutely. And like, as we've seen, like, this has been doing just gigantic numbers basically everywhere. It was, you know, the largest game launch, Switch game launch in Japan. It was, you know, the largest Switch game launch in the UK, which are like beat out Pokemon in both of those regions, which is just insane because it's Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's all sold out here.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much wherever you go. But I mean, Switches themselves all sold out here, so...
Yeah, it's interesting because with Animal Crossing, like, they have the opportunity to make this into... Well, the way that Nintendo does a lot of their generational games anyways, at least in the last couple of generations, is they release one major tentpole entry to a franchise, and then, like, that's, like, their platform for that game. If they add to it, then they do... you know, we saw that with Mario Kart 8. We see that with Zelda, although there is a sequel coming soon. You know, a lot of their first-party games tend to be like that. And Animal Crossing, I totally see that to be as, like, you know, their kind of social platform in a sense. Not like, you know, Miiverse or anything where you can... A platform in a sense that you can just, you know, type whatever you want and put whatever you want up there. Like, platform in the sense that it's just this one game that does get built upon, almost like a games-as-service type of thing. So it will be interesting to see what they add to it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do a Super Mario Party to it, so...
Yeah,
that's rest right. In peace of Mario Party.
Yeah. Oh, I wish there was more to that game, man. That was... I mean, I hate Mario Party, but I did dig that.
Oh, there will be in about, like, and 6 months
when
time,
Super Mario Party 2 comes out.
$80, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Dan, do you have any final thoughts for this? How's this going to be reflected in your review? Are you enjoying the game?
I am enjoying the game. It's just something that you can't review in 4 days or 5 days and say, hey, that's good, it's great.
Absolutely.
You need to do this at least. I want to try at least do something once. Try out the events, which are starting soon. So, yep. There's a lot of... For all the progress the game has made, you know, since the GameCube version, you think, you know, you couldn't even move your house or do it. Like, just some things you couldn't do in the old games, and then... They slowly gotten more and more open. There's still, there's some of these holdovers, like not waiting a day for things to happen. And like just the way you have to craft things feels slow. It's just like everything's, and like donating things to Blathers is faster. but it could be faster still. It's just there's still these holdovers that are what you know legacy stuff that was maybe they think it's cute or something, but it's like you know games can do these things better now, so maybe they'll get updated and patched in the future as well. So it's a living island, really. It's a moving game, so it's really hard to pin like a score on it.
Well, I'm glad I'm not reviewing it. Sorry to say, but yes, I'm sure you do a fantastic job anyway.
I did this to myself, so it's all right.
All right, well, that about wraps up our Animal Crossing discussion, unless anyone else has something that they want to say about the game.
I think I'm good.
Good. All right. Well, in that case, let's start wrapping this episode up. Let's look over to the eShop recommendations. So every podcast episode, we look at the eShop. We give our recommendations for what's on sale at the moment on the eShop. Since our last episode, even though there was a pretty big sale going on last episode, which was last week, Nintendo decided to spice things up again with a mini direct and release a whole bunch of other stuff and include some new sales. So in our recommendations list, we have Doom 64, which just came out last week. It's still $7.50, right?
Yeah, it's fairly cheap. If you like Doom, like I wrote in my review, like it's Doom, but it's like directed by someone else. So, or like a cover of a song. So like it has the guns and the monsters and the gameplay of Doom, but like the shooting gameplay, but like it's a slow methodical game with puzzles and it's more atmospheric. So it's like, you have to be, I think you have to be like a Doom fan to appreciate it. Because it might just seem a bit weird otherwise. And, like, in my research for, you know, relearning what Doom 64 was, because I haven't played it since the 64, I read a lot of the early reviews for it, and they hated it. Like, it wasn't Doom. But right. I think now you can look at it with a different lens, and because it's so cheap, you're not losing $30, you're only losing $7. But it's night and day difference from what like Doom Eternal is now. So some people are going to absolutely still hate it. But like, if you like Doom as itself, like the world it has, it's an interesting experience.
Fair enough. And we've also got Octopath Traveler here. Who wants to vouch for that one?
I'll chat about that. So Octopath Traveler at the moment is 50% off on the store. I think it's 2 million sales. Is that right, Ollie? I forget what it is now.
Yep.
Yeah, 2 million sales.
2 million sales on the Switch.
And it's a really neat Japanese-style RPG. It's got 8 separate characters that you can play with. It's got an amazing art style. So all the characters and enemies are 2D sprites, but the environment is rendered in 3D, but in a really awesome 2D texture pattern. So if you like those old-school like Super Nintendo RPGs like Final Fantasy VI or Chrono Trigger or whatever, this is going to be a great game up your alley.
And Ollie, I believe you're still vouching for One Piece.
I am still vouching for One Piece. So I've had hands-on time with the game now. It's been hard to turn myself away from Animal Crossing to do so. But it is an exceptionally fun game to play. It just looks like it doesn't look like garbage. Like, that's a bit harsh for me to say, but it doesn't look great. Previous One Piece Pirate Warriors games kind of they aimed to sort of in that middle spot of looking good and performing well. With this one, they've 100% aimed for it to perform better than it looks, and that's a good thing because you know the gameplay is far and away the most important thing there. It's just, you know, it could look nicer. Maybe it looks nicer on other platforms. I'm not 100% sure. I will say, though, for people who are into One Piece, you know, there's 950 episodes, you know, something close to 200 chapters of the manga. If you're wondering at what point the games would start skipping over vital story stuff because there's too much of it, this is the first game to do that. A lot of the super boring stuff at the beginning, some of the more, you know, boring, not boring, but just less interesting arcs, they sort of just glaze over that to get to the the more interesting stuff. So yeah, it's a fun game, and there will be a review for it up on the website hopefully soonish.
Cool. And then there's also the Bravely Default 2 demo, which just dropped as part of the Nintendo Direct Mini or Mini Direct or whatever it was called the other day, which is available now on the eShop as well. And for any other current sales, be sure to head to the site vux.net and head to the eShop section to find out what the weekly sales have in store. Let's quickly move over to the release forecast. So also part of the Nintendo Mini Direct, there were three notable games that were released as part of that, that kind of were just shadow drops, which are Good Job, which is kind of a silly, almost job simulator type thing in a way, where, you know, just these little characters in these sort of isometric workplaces, very colorful, very bright, and you just have this one task to do, and doesn't matter how you do it, you can wreck the entire building as you see fit, provided that you complete this one task, and if you do that, you have done a good job. It's kind of difficult to explain for me, so but just be sure to go check out a trailer for that and decide for yourself. It's quite expensive, though. I'll probably wait for a sale for that one before I jump on. It's $30 at the moment. Apart from that, we've also got Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, the old favorite from the early 2000s. It was on Xbox, PS2, and probably PC as well, part of the Jedi Knight series. That just released on Switch. And then there's also the Panzer Dragoon remake, which was a very iconic series on the Saturn back in the late 90s, and just got a remake on the Switch. But Ollie, you were saying before that apparently it's not fantastic or hasn't been favoring too well in reviews.
So yeah, I mean, it's not awful by any means. I haven't played it myself. I've watched quite a few videos on it from people like Game Explain, and I think Eurogamer had an article and a video up about it. The Saturn did a lot of really interesting and tricky stuff with the way that its architecture was set up, and that allowed them to do particular things with, you know, effects and graphics and stuff. And some of that stuff isn't really there in the remake. It's also more of a remaster than a remake. If you're going into it expecting that, you know, it's going to be like Link's Awakening on the Switch, just get that idea right out of your head. It looks very much how it used to, just without some of the visual flair of the original. And it plays, by all reports, it plays significantly better. The one of the things about Panzer Dragoon was that, like, the controls, even, you know, for the Saturn era, were not great. But that's been markedly improved in this version.
I will just say on Star Wars, sorry, if Jedi Knight Academy is anything like Jedi Knight 2, the port, from the first gameplay I had a look at it, it looks like it is. They're not great ports. Like, they work, but they have done not a lot to make it more modern friendly. All the menus look the same. The controls are a bit iffy. Apparently Jedi Academy can't invert the controls, but Jedi Knight can.
Oof. Well, that's me out then.
Yeah, so Jedi Knight couldn't originally, and then they patched it, but then they've released this one without it. So
right.
Yeah, but it's still, like, if you take them as early 2000s, late 90s PC games, they're fine. Like, you just have to be prepared that they're not, like, I mean, like, yeah, like, or to use the Link's Awakening example, remaster or remake, it's the company who does them does really good ports, but you get what they were, so.
Products of their time.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, we've also got Snakey Bus coming out on April 2nd as well. And I think that about wraps it up. So my name's Angelo. You can find me on Twitter at Mangello. That's M-A-N-J-E-L-L-0. Ollie, where can people find you?
You can also find me on Twitter at Chocobalt, C-H-O-C-O-B-A-L-T.
And Michael?
You can also find me on Twitter at SubElement. That's S-U-B-E-L-E-M-E-N-T.
And Dan.
And you went to the website that I have, so you can find me on there.
Easy. Yeah, and be sure to head to the site, vux.net, for all of your Nintendo news and reviews and anything in between. Also, be sure to head, if you enjoy being part of an Australian Nintendo community, be sure to join Vux's Discord as well, which Michael helps manage over on that side. Yeah, thanks Ollie, thanks Michael, thanks Dan. My name's Angelo, and we'll see you next week for another episode of, well, sorry, for the next episode of the Bookcast. Bye-bye.